Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hey, Herman and Corin. Another tech recommendation question for both of you to work on. So you know that our that guy called Ezra who lives with us, the six-month-old, so you may notice he's on the verge of crawling. And you may have also noticed they put up a couple of IP cameras or security cameras to keep an eye on him. And now that he's kind of moving more freely, I think I want to replace one of those cameras. They're pretty old, and the one in the living room is like very old. I have a Reolink that I picked up for his nursery that's really, really good. I'm very happy with it. Now, what I want for the living room, the one I'm looking to upgrade to, we unfortunately have to use Wi-Fi for these cameras because we don't have Ethernet in the living room, as you know. And probably what I want is something that has like very wide throw so that I can toggle it around wherever he is. Is the case, Herman and Corin, that those dome cameras, the kind of classic ones you associate with CCTV systems, they are like wider? You don't see that much of them in Wi-Fi, I guess, because of the settings they're used in. For any users also setting up their own, you know, camera systems for monitoring babies crawling and trying to make sure they're okay, our place is very far from huge. In fact, it's pretty small. The living room and kitchen is maybe 10 meters? 10 meters across, thereabouts, maybe a bit more. So it's less about having a camera that's incredibly high resolution and more about something I can just zoom in and make sure that he's okay from the other room if I'm working in the office. What would you recommend in terms of camera styles and maybe also brands that are, you know, not going to set a consumer as opposed to a business user, not going to cost an arm and leg, but still be good? I've been very happy with Reolink. If there's anything in there that you can recommend. But more importantly, what type of camera should I be looking for this application?
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. It is January 4th, 2026, and we are kicking off the new year with a topic that hits pretty close to home. I am here with my brother, as always.
Ermin Poppleberry, at your service. Happy New Year, Corn. I cannot believe we are already 4 days into 26. It feels like the future is arriving faster than my internet connection can handle sometimes.
Tell me about it. Speaking of home, our housemate Daniel sent us a voice note earlier today. He is dealing with a very specific, very adorable technical challenge. As many of you know, our other housemate, little Ezra, is officially 6 months old now, and according to Daniel, the kid is on the verge of a full-on crawling breakout.
The mobility phase. It is a game changer. One day they are a stationary loaf of bread, and the next day they are a heat-seeking missile aimed directly at every electrical outlet and dust bunny in the house. It is a terrifying and beautiful transition.
Exactly. So Daniel is looking to upgrade the tech in our living room. He has been using an older camera, but now that Ezra is moving, he needs something with a wide throw or a wide angle to track him more easily. He specifically asked about dome cameras and whether they are a good fit for a small living room, and he is looking for some affordable consumer brand recommendations.
This is a great prompt because it touches on that intersection of professional-grade surveillance and consumer-friendly baby monitoring. There is a lot of terminology that gets thrown around, like wide throw versus field of view, and I think we should start by clearing some of that up for Daniel and everyone else listening who might be in the same boat.
Let's do it. I mean, the living room is not huge, maybe 10 meters across, but it is an open-plan space. When a baby starts crawling, they do not just stay in the center of the frame. They go under tables, behind couches, and into corners. So, Herman, let's address the dome camera question first. When people think of dome cameras, they usually think of those black bubbles of the...
Usually the answer is no, but with a few caveats. In the professional world, dome cameras are popular because they are vandal-resistant. That plastic bubble makes it hard for someone to grab the camera or see exactly where the lens is pointed. But for a home environment, domes can actually be a bit of a pain. They are prone to something called IR reflection, where the infrared lights for night vision bounce off the inside of the plastic dome and wash out the IMRED cables, which Daniel mentioned we do not have in the living room.
Right, he mentioned we are strictly on Wi-Fi for that part of the house. So, if a dome is not the play, what is the alternative for getting that wide coverage he is looking for? He used the term wide throw, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, wide throw is a term you hear more often in the world of projectors. But in cameras, we usually talk about the field of view, or FOV. If you want to see an entire room without the camera moving, you are looking for a wide-angle lens. Most standard security cameras have a field of view around 90 to 110 degrees. That is fine for a hallway, but in 10-meter living room, you are going to have massive blind spots in the corners.
So, what is the target number then? If I want to see the whole room from one corner, what kind of degree am I looking for?
You really want something in the 130 to 160 degree range. At that point, you are getting into what they call ultra-wide territory. Now, the trade-off there is distortion. The wider you go, the more the edges of the image start to curve, like a fisheye lens. But for keeping an eye on a crawling baby, you do not need cinematic perfection. You need to know if he is reaching for the cat's water bowl in the far corner.
That makes sense. But there is another option, right? Instead of one static wide-angle lens, what about the cameras that actually move? Daniel mentioned tracking the baby.
Exactly. Those are called PTZ cameras, which stands for Pan, Tilt, and Zoom. These have been a staple of the consumer market for a few years now. Instead of trying to squeeze the whole room into one distorted frame, the camera physically rotates to follow the motion. Our friend Daniel mentioned he already has a Reolink in the nursery and he is happy with it. Reolink actually makes some of the best affordable PTZ cameras on the market right now.
I remember looking at those. They have the E1 series, right? The little ones that look like a snowball.
That is the one. The Reolink E1 Pro or the E1 Zoom. They are very affordable, usually under $50 or $60, and they have built-in AI for person and pet tracking. By 2026, this technology has gotten incredibly fast. It can lock onto a moving object and keep it centered in the frame. For a crawling baby, it is perfect. As Ezra moves from the rug to the kitchen tile, the camera just swivels and follows him.
But here is my concern with the swiveling cameras, and I have noticed this with some of the cheaper models we have tested in the past. Sometimes the motor is loud enough to be distracting, or even wake a sleeping baby if it is used in a bedroom. And more importantly, if the camera is busy following the cat, it might miss the baby moving in the opposite direction.
That is a very insightful point, Corin. That is the classic single point of failure for PTZ cameras. If it is zoomed in or panned away, you are blind to the rest of the room. This is why a new trend has emerged in the last year or so, dual lens cameras. These are fascinating. Basically, you have one fixed wide-angle lens that sees the entire room at all times, and the second telephoto lens that zooms in and tracks the movement.
Wait, so it is like having two cameras in one housing?
Precisely. Reolink has a model called the TrackMix, and Eufy has the Indoor Cam S350. These are absolute game changers for parents. You get a picture-in-picture view on your phone. One window shows you the whole living room, so you know exactly where the boundaries are. And the other window is a zoomed-in high-definition crop of the baby. It uses the wide-angle lens to detect the motion and then tells the zoom lens where to point.
That sounds like exactly what Daniel needs. It solves the wide throw issue because you have that constant wide-angle view, but you also get the detail of the tracking. Now, let's talk about the brands. Daniel mentioned affordable consumer brands. We have mentioned Reolink and Eufy. How do they stack up against each other, especially considering the Wi-Fi constraint?
Reolink is great for people who want a lot of features for a very low price. Their software is decent, and they play well with local storage, meaning you just pop in a micro SD card and you do not have to pay a monthly subscription. Eufy is a bit more polished. Their app is generally considered more user-friendly, and they have a big focus on privacy. Most of their processing happens on the device itself, rather than in the cloud.
Privacy is a huge one for a living room camera. I mean, we live there. I do not necessarily want footage of me eating cereal in my pajamas being sent to a server halfway across the world just so an AI can tell me it is a human.
Exactly, and that is why I often lean toward Eufy or even TP-Link's Tapo line for indoor use. By January 26th, the Tapo cameras have really stepped up their game. They are incredibly cheap, sometimes as low as $30 for a basic PTZ model, and they have physical privacy shutters. When you come home and you do not want to be recorded, you can just tap a button in the app and the lens physically rolls back into the housing. It is a visual guarantee that the camera cannot see you.
I love that. There is something much more reassuring about a physical shutter than just a software toggle. Speaking of software, though, we should probably talk about the AI. Daniel is looking to track a crawling baby. Is the AI smart enough now to distinguish between a baby, a dog, and a swaying curtain?
Oh, absolutely. Back in episode 147, we talked about the early days of edge computing and cameras. But in 26, it is standard. Most of these mid-range cameras from Realink, Eufy, and Tapo have specific models for human detection. Some even have baby cry detection, which is a nice bonus. They look for the specific shape and movement patterns of a human. A crawling baby is a bit of a unique shape, but the algorithms are our tree.
What about the resolution? Daniel mentioned he does not need something incredibly high res because the room is small, but he wants to be able to zoom in. If he gets a 2K or a 4K camera, does that actually help in a 10 meter room?
It helps more than you think. Even in a small room, if Ezra is on the far side near the window and you're trying to see if he has picked up something small off the floor, like a stray Lego or a coin, those extra pixels matter. A 4K image allows you to digitally zoom in much further before the image becomes a blurry mess of pixels. I would say 4K is the sweet spot for 2026. Anything less feels a bit dated, especially to the wave.
That is a fair point. Let's take a quick break for our sponsors, and when we come back, I want to dig into the setup and the Wi-Fi side of things, because if the connection is spotty, even the best camera is just a plastic paperweight.
Are you tired of your neighbors looking too happy? Do you wish you could keep an eye on your property while also projecting an aura of extreme mystery? Introducing the Fogmaster 3000. It is not just a smoke machine, it is a tactical atmospheric displacement system. With one touch of a button, your front yard is engulfed in a thick, lavender-scented mist that stays at knee height, perfect for hiding garden gnomes or confusing the local mail carrier. It is solar-powered, mostly silent, and
All right, thanks, Larry. I think I will pass on the tactical mist for now. Although, Herman, if we had a Fogmaster, it would certainly make the camera discussion more interesting. How does a security camera handle a knee-high, lavender-scented fog?
Not well, Korn. Not well at all. Most of these consumer cameras use passive infrared for motion detection or simple pixel change analysis. A thick fog would trigger a motion alert every 3 seconds. Daniel would have 1,000 notifications on his phone before he finished his morning coffee.
Which brings us back to the practical side of this. Daniel needs to monitor Ezra in the living room. We have talked about the types of cameras, like the dual-lens Realink TrackMix or the Eufy S350 and the PTZ options like the Realink E1. But let's talk about the Wi-Fi. He specifically mentioned he has to use Wi-Fi because we do not have Ethernet in the living room. In a house like ours, with thick walls and a lot of devices, what should he be looking for to ensure he actually gets a smooth feasibly?
This is where people often skip the fine print. In 2026, most modern cameras support Wi-Fi 6 or even Wi-Fi 6E. If Daniel's router supports those standards, he should definitely look for a camera that does too. Wi-Fi 6 is much better at handling multiple devices simultaneously without the latency spikes that make a video feed stutter.
And latency is the enemy when you are watching a baby. If there is a 5-second delay, the baby could have already crawled into a different zip code by the time you see it on your phone.
Exactly. You want that sub-second latency. Another thing to check is whether the camera supports the 5 GHz band. A lot of older or very cheap cameras are 2.4 GHz only. While 2.4 has better range and can go through walls more easily, it is incredibly crowded. Your microwave, your neighbor's routers, and even some old cordless phones all live on that band. If he can get a dual-band camera and connect it to the 5 GHz band,
That is a solid tip. Now, what about the mounting? Daniel is asking about a wide throw for a crawling baby. Where should he actually put the camera? If it is on a bookshelf, it might have blind spots under the shelf itself. If it is on the ceiling, is it too far away?
For a crawling baby, height is your friend, but only to a point. If you mount it too high, like on a 10-foot ceiling, you are looking straight down at the top of the baby's head. It is hard to see what they are doing with their hands or what they are looking at. I usually recommend mounting at about eye level for an adult, around 5 or 6 feet.
That makes sense. It gives you a good perspective of the floor, but still covers the whole room.
Right. And if he goes with a PTZ camera, he should place it in a corner or in a central spot where it has a clear line of sight to the most high traffic areas. Since our living room is about 10 meters across, placing it in a corner gives that wide-angle lens the best chance of covering the entire diagonal of the room. If he puts it in the middle of a wall, he is immediately losing 180 degrees of vision behind the camera.
What about the dome question again? Daniel specifically asked if they are wider. I think there is a misconception that the shape of the dome means the lens is wider. Can we bust that myth?
Yeah, that is a classic misconception. The dome is just the housing. The lens inside a dome camera is often the exact same lens you would find in a bullet camera or a desktop camera. The wide part comes from the focal length of the lens, not the shape of the plastic bubble. In fact, domes can be more limiting because the housing can sometimes clip the edges of the frame if the lens is panned too far to one side. For Daniel's needs, a dedicated indoor pan-tilt camera is at all...
Okay, so we are steering him away from domes and toward dual lens or high-end PTZ cameras. Let's get specific with some models for him to look at. If he wants to stay in the RioLink ecosystem because he already has the nursery set up, what is the top pick?
If he wants the absolute best for tracking a crawler, the RioLink TrackMix Wi-Fi is the winner. It has the dual-lens system I mentioned. One lens stays wide, one lens zooms in and follows. It is a bit larger than a standard indoor camera, but for a living room, it is worth it. If he wants something smaller and more discreet, the RioLink E1 Zoom is a fantastic budget pick. It is 5 megapixels, has optical zoom, and is very reliable.
And if he wants to branch out, maybe something that integrates better with a smart home setup?
Then I would look at the UV Indoor Cam S350. It is a dual-lens 4K camera that is designed specifically for this kind of indoor monitoring. It has incredible AI tracking and the image quality is top tier for a consumer device. Another sleeper hit is the Wyze Cam 4 or the Wyze Cam Pan V3. Wyze is the king of cheap but functional. Their Pan V3 has a really unique design that allows it to tilt almost straight down, which is great if you have it mounted high and want to see right below the camera.
I have used some Wyze gear before. It is definitely affordable, but I sometimes worry about the long-term reliability and the fact that they really push their subscription service for the AI features.
That is the trade-off. With RioLink and Eufy, you pay a bit more upfront, but you own the features. With Wyze, the camera is dirt cheap, but to get the best person detection and cloud storage, you are looking at a monthly fee. For a long-term setup like a baby monitor, I usually suggest spending the extra $20 on the hardware to avoid the subscription creep.
I totally agree. Those $5 a month charges really add up over a few years. Now, let's talk about the small living room aspect. Daniel said it is 10 meters across. Does he need multiple cameras, or can one good one really do the job?
In a 10-meter space, one well-placed PTZ or dual-lens camera should be plenty. If the room was L-shaped or had significant obstructions like a floor-to-ceiling fireplace in the middle, then you might need two. But for a standard rectangular or square living room, a single camera in a corner can cover nearly everything. The key is the AI tracking. As long as the camera can see the motion, it will turn to follow.
What about night vision? Ezra is 6 months old, so he is probably not doing much crawling in the dark yet, but eventually there might be low light situations.
Most of these cameras have moved beyond the old grainy green night vision. They use high-powered infrared LEDs that provide a very clear black and white image in total darkness. Some even have color night vision, where they use a tiny spotlight or a very sensitive sensor to give you a full color image, even with just a little bit of ambient light. For a living room, standard infrared is usually fine. You do not want a bright spotlight turning on every time the baby moves at night.
Yeah, that sounds like a great way to end up with a very awake and very grumpy baby. So, to summarize for Daniel, skip the dome cameras, look for a dual lens system if the budget allows, or a high-quality PDZ camera if he wants to stay under $100. Stick with Wi-Fi 6 if possible, and mount it around 5 feet high in a corner.
Spot on. And I would add one more thing. Local storage. Get a high-end, high-endurance micro SD card. Standard SD cards are not meant for the constant writing of a security camera and they will fail within a few months. Look for cards specifically labeled for endurance or surveillance. They are designed to be written to 24/7.
That is a great technical detail. I would not have thought of that. It is those little things that save you a headache 6 months down the line when you realize the camera has not been recording for weeks.
Exactly. There is nothing worse than going to check the footage of a first step or a funny moment and finding out the SD card died in November.
Well, I think we have given Daniel plenty to chew on. It is an exciting time in the house. I am looking forward to seeing Ezra zooming around the living room. It is going to be a busy year.
It really is. And for everyone else listening, if you are in a similar spot or have other tech questions, we love digging into these. This is what My Weird Prompts is all about. Taking these everyday challenges and finding the cool, deep dive solutions.
Absolutely. This has been a great way to start 2026. If you have been enjoying the show and our deep dives into everything from urban honking to baby cameras, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It genuinely helps other curious people find the show.
It really does make a massive difference for us. We love seeing the community grow.
You can find all our past episodes and a way to get in touch with us at our website, myweirdprompts.com. We are also on Spotify, so make sure to follow us there so you never miss an episode.
And thanks again to Daniel for the prompt. It is going to be a fun project getting that camera set up this weekend. I might even help him mount it if he asks nicely.
Knowing you, Herman, you will have it integrated into a custom dashboard with real-time heat maps of Ezra's movements by Sunday afternoon.
You know me too well, Korn. I cannot help myself. The data is just sitting there, waiting to be visualized.
Alright, on that note, we are going to wrap this up. This has been My Weird Prompts. I am Korn.
And I am Herman Poppleberry. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next one.
Happy New Year, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
So, Herman, before we go, I was thinking about that Fogmaster 3000. Do you think it could be used for, you know, theatrical entrances when we start the podcast?
Only if it comes with a laser light show and some synthwave music, Korn. Only then.
I will see what I can find on the sketchy part of the internet.
Oh boy. Here we go again.
Thanks for listening to My Weird Prompts. We will see you next time.
Take care, everyone.
And remember, keep your cameras high and your SD cards high-end.
That is actually a pretty good catchphrase.
I'm working on it. See ya!
Goodbye.
One more thing, Herman. If Daniel gets the dual-lens camera, do you think he can set it up to automatically play a sound if Ezra gets too close to the stairs?
Most of them have a built-in siren, but you can usually upload a custom sound. He could record himself saying, "Ezra, back away from the ledge," in a very calm, soothing voice.
Or he could record you saying, "Warning, perimeter breach," in your best robot voice.
I'm already practicing. Warning, small human detected in restricted zone.
Perfect. That is definitely not going to traumatize the kid.
He will love it. He will think it is a game.
We will see about that. All right, for real this time, thanks for listening.
See you.
This has been My Weird Prompts, a production of Curiosity and Brotherhood in Jerusalem. Find us at myweirdprompts.com.
And on Spotify. Don't forget Spotify.
We won't. Bye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.